Hello, Crimson Penguin. I'm trying to get set up, see if I can get Zane to come on in. We are doing a live podcast. Hi, I am on, thank you for the love. I'm on the computer. And Zane's trying to use his good microphone on the computer too. I have some stuff I want to read today. Something that, and something Zane is going to read as well. I haven't done a live for a while. There he is. He has entered the live studio. I see you, Zane. Can you call in? I like Happy Sunday better than Wonderful. What do you guys think? I see you. Guests and call in. It says you're still offline though. Maybe it's because your count is different. Can I highlight you? No, I can't highlight you. You might have to use your phone. Oh, wait. Please ask callers to use the headset. And you're online. I can't hear you though. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Alrighty, I see you. I see your green light, Mr. Zane, but I cannot hear you. Now you're offline. I just saw him. Crimson Penguin share the live show, and now he comes back.
Yes.
You were there, aren't you? I hear you.
Okay, good. There we go.
I'm waiting for your response.
For what?
Are you using your computer?
No, it won't work.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, lame.
I know it really is because you sound so much better on your cool microphone. Okay, so I have my microphone set up and I have the pop shield set up and everything. So do I sound better?
Yes, and we'll find out if it can contain the laughter or not.
What are we going to do that is going to make me laugh? I can't even begin to imagine. If you want to share this out with the world, you can, because I'm on that other computer where I don't have anything linked up and I can't do it. So everybody, welcome to Isabel and Wright's Grown Up Storytime, the live stream and podcast where I pretty much just laugh the whole time. I don't do anything else. Oh, no. I also tease Zane a little bit.
A little bit?
You're getting so sassy as you get to know me better. I don't know if I can handle the sass. And we love you for that. Cookie Crumble says, and there is, so I am live streaming. And while I'm live streaming, there's a chat room and you can come in. And because we want to read today, I don't know if we're going to have any call-ins, but I would very much like, we'll just see how it works. Okay. Are you settled in there, Mr. Zane? What should we do first? There are actually three different pieces for story time today that we could read. Two of them are from my friend Touch Type, who is an English gentleman who I have been corresponding with, and his letters, his emails, they're almost, I feel like Sabine, and I There's a whole, it's a book, Sabine, and I can't remember the other one, but they correspond back and forth. His letters are amazing. And I know he might listen to this since I'm going to post it. And I just want to, I haven't emailed him back lately, but I enjoy everyone he says, shares, and all his wisdom that he heaps upon me and his knowledge and making his head grow really big. I really suggest you do get a cart for your head, sweetheart, because you're going to need it after today. I think he sent me, I wrote, just to give a little background, this piece called Bus Stop, about a gentleman who gets on the bus and he's by himself. And then he walks to the back of the bus and he experiences just some memory recall. And actually there are two different versions of that. There's one that I wrote and then sent to TouchType, and then he wrote it from an English point of view. Zane, do you think you could read it in an English accent?
Probably.
Yeah.
Just so you know, if you do, my friend is quite the... he was explaining to me the different accents and the difference between a gentleman's accent and a rich. So he can give you some real life feedback if you require it.
Oh, that's cool. Although I do only have like 10 or so minutes. I know, right?
10 minutes? What?
10 or so,
what?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I have friends.
No, 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 Zane, no. What? No. That piece is going to take more than 10 minutes to read. What?
Will it?
No. No, probably. Yeah, no, that's...
They can wait a little bit, but yeah, I don't have a crazy amount of time.
Oh my gosh, okay, so time. First read the first thing that I wanted you to read. There was something that came in that I thought would be, came up, that I thought would be very encouraging to the audience, and Zane has graciously received the order. No, accepted, offered, volunteered. No, he begged me on his hands and knees to read it. So go ahead and read that, Zane, for our audience and these troubled times of hardship and woe.
All right. Am I reading it in an English accent?
No, not the short one.
Short one?
The fear one?
Fear? I don't know where I put that. Let me see if I still have it.
The sweetheart, the short one I sent you for... that somebody sent me. No, I didn't. It's, you know, whatever. That
I
one.
I gotta go back and find that real quick. No, I'm the wrong thing.
The sentimental one.
Yeah, I don't have that pulled up, apparently.
You don't? Why don't you have, like, I know you keep, like, 10 billion tabs open.
Yeah, I thought that was one of them.
Apparently not. So I see Crimson Penguin and Cookie. Thank you guys so much for sharing this out. I am going to repost this so that other people will get a chance to listen, so that it's not quite so chaotic, so they can, as they are going about their household chores and duties, or trying to tune out the household chores and duties, whatever the case may be, they'll have maybe something to listen to that is entertaining and not Netflix.
Yeah.
You can actually listen to a podcast and stand. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, wait.
I am.
Yeah. Let me set the mood. Okay. You are trapped. It is isolation 2020 and the stress is killing you. You are about to explode with the feels. Here's some more feels I want to throw at you this morning from Zane. Go for it.
All right, so fearless.
There you go. Yeah.
Josh. Being rude.
Fearless Josh in the background.
Yeah, famous Josh in the background. Tell me if I think this is it, anyways. There are many emotions, thoughts, ideas, experiences, memories that threaten to change me. But every one of them runs up against the part of my personality that will not be cowed by anything or anyone. I have done things my entire life just for the point of facing fears.
Oh, it's her more person. It's okay.
Famous Josh in the background. My family had a cabin in the woods. One room, shack with a fireplace, an outhouse and cold running water. The year I got my driver's license, I started visiting the cabin alone. And blah 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 blah.
You were supposed to edit it.
I was, and then I had to pull it up immediately.
I didn't know Kate made her own new person.
And then I would stay the weekend, because being there alone at night in the middle of nowhere was scary. Lighting the fireplace, taking care of myself, being alone. Going on long walks in the woods by myself. Long days off of season quiet. Did I mention that the cabin was routinely broken into by random thieves and homeless people? I am driven to find every internal fear and look it in the eye. Every bit of self-ugly. All of it. And if you ask me, I can't hide it. I will answer. I will tell you the truth of me. Luckily, people rarely ask. It's easy to carry stuff around that goes unsaid and unshared. We all have those moments in our lives that are ugly. Where something is done to us. Where something is done by us. And we all have ways of dealing with that ugly. Because I'm not afraid of it, I thought I dealt with the layers of shit and crap that had built up over years of stubborn self-reliance and ruthless control. I had prayed over it, examined it, surrendered it, faced it and owned it, but I never shared it. Some of it was just too ugly, too real. And while I could share it, there is a cost to that. I'd learned that not everyone is fearless. Not everyone is a drain that can take the stuff and let it go through them like a sieve. Some people repel it. Some people absorb it. Some people jump up at the chance to judge the ugly. They do it in relation to their own stuff, to their own baggage. I know that. Just because I have no fear, I'm impulsive and err on the side of reckless, doesn't mean I'm clueless. But as 2020 rolled around, I found myself facing some of my ugly as well as feeling it. Sorry. Inexplicably drowning in it. The emotions just don't quit. The revelations are never ending, and the ugly is truly ugly. And then I found some friends who offered me honesty, and weren't afraid to look at me while I fell apart and shared the stuff. Aired it. I don't even know how much all that pungent fouling of the air has changed my relationship with these people. But I am so, so grateful in a way that I haven't been before. To be heard. These times we live in are insane, and like it or not, I think the fear of them can stir up some ugly in all of us. If you can, if there's any chance, share the shit. Share the stuff you're hiding. Air the stuff you are carrying. It helps more than you might think that it will all be heard. Even if you are fearless and you can think you can do it alone. And that is that. And then, because I have a Twitter account I made,
oh, yes.
Notifications. I never checked this account, like I said. it's called An Empty Void, @AnEmptyVoid, and then it has, and for whatever reason, it adds numbers, but I'll type it into this chat, and then you can tag it whenever you tweet this out.
Check that Discord more often,
people. So you can air your crap at that account or message and DM that account if you feel like there's no one in your life who you can share all the truth of your ugly with. Go ahead. You can even make a dummy account for one day and just share the stuff and then delete your Twitter account and walk away from it. We are also, I'm just going to have Zane, just in case, I want you to make sure that somewhere posted in the tweets is the suicide hotline number, just in case, just because that sometimes the ugly is really and truly ugly. So there's that for this morning. As you're going crazy and you're hating yourself or hating your world or trying your best or whatever it may be, you are not alone. And there are people who are willing to listen and be the sieve and not judge. So the next thing is a dramatic reading. I'll let Zane read his. So let me explain this piece. Are you going to go ahead and read that?
Yeah, probably. And then I'll probably have to leave right after.
And then he'll have to leave. And then I'll read mine. And mine is funny. Zane's is a little sexy. And mine is so not. It made me so uncomfortable to start to read through it. It was so sassy. I couldn't finish it. Thank you so much, my dear friend across the waters. But I will do this for you because it is a wonderful piece because you're a wonderful writer. And I will try to capture the the air in which it was intended. So Zane is going to read his sexy piece. Now, I wrote this. I wrote it. It has like several versions are now versions are now floating around. The first one I sent to Zane was pretty short. This one is much longer and has a little bit different pacing feel. And then I sent it to my friend in England who altered it so that an English gentleman could read it. And then he sent it back. And I think he recorded it for me as well. He's been sending me emails, but it's hard to get my emails on my phone and look at them until I get my computer tomorrow. So he sent it back and altered it so that he would be comfortable reading it. So it has an English version to it. There are several little words in there that are actually different. What is the other thing I want to say? And his name is, I don't want to say it wrong. Sometimes I say it wrong, and I want to make sure he gets all the credit. He's a fantastic writer on Literotica. He has a piece up recently about isolation that is truly funny, and Touch Type is his name on Literotica. It's funny because it's very tongue-in-cheek, and then it gets to the part where there's this window-to-window interaction that makes me feel very sentimental. I've told him this before, that the way the characters view each other, the way the man views the woman, is very reverent but real. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that clear seeing, that he can see who she really is, see all the flaws in her body, see her self-consciousness, and yet be willing to adore her from afar still. That means a lot to me. So I'm going to let Zane read the sexy piece.
All right. So, I don't think you ever said the name. It's called Bus Girl. Yes. At least my version is. It might be called something else if you ever publish this, which you should, but
I'll put it on Literotica for him. There you go.
Anyways. The bus stops and I get off. The pavements are a mess.
Are you going to do it in English accent?
Oh, that's right. Sure. I'll just do the default one. That's not Calyx, because that will hurt my voice too much. But
yes, no, don't do Calyx.
The bus stops and I get on. The pavements are a mess of ice and slush, but the roads have been ploughed and salted, so there's no risk in taking it. The hissing of the compressed air brakes sound like something out of a science fiction movie. I feel like I'm stepping through a portal into another world. The door is squeaking closed behind me before the smell hits me. A mixture of exhaust fumes, damp and unwashed clothes, and stale movie popcorn. But there's no going back now. I'm committed. A quick glance down the lighted aisles tells me the bus is empty. I'm the only passenger on the 20-odd seater. Is this English or am I Australian now? I don't know.
Don't ruin the mood with your asides. We're creating a sense here.
Just me and the driver, and the seats are gaping, because it's spelled G-A-W.
Gawping. He changed it.
Okay.
Gawping is the English word.
And the seats are gawping. Silent audience. I spot the signs of wear. Graffiti, scarring and carved initials add to the otherworldly vibe I'm getting, even though the bus looked new at first sight. Last time I was on the bus, it was coins only. Our receptionist, Jenny, had assured me they took cards now, and I'm pleased to confirm it by swiping mine 3. I'd got it out of my wallet, ready, like a nervous kid. The driver, old business, doesn't acknowledge me. He's like an automaton. When he jerks the bus out from the curb into almost stationary traffic, I have to grip the handrail above me to steady myself. It's normally a 30-minute drive home. I could walk it, but it's 32 degrees out. The car's in the garage, and the neighbours who brought me into work can't get me home. Everyone else I could ask was busy too, so bus it is. 30 minutes becomes 45, but at least I'm not wading through ice crud in office shoes either. My memory pulls me right to the back of the bus. The walk feels familiar. I touch the seats as I pass them. I haven't been on a bus since going to matches and tournaments in grammar school. We'd hang out at the back like kings. The coach sat up in front with the driver. If we didn't get too rowdy, he'd turn on the radio and he'd rock along to Journey and Guns N' Roses. A lifetime ago. I sit on the very last bench seat, the long one, right next to the window, inhaling exhaust. The hard seat feels strange against my eyes. It's that combination of airport and comfortable and waiting room contour that never fits a guy my size. Age and regular exercise have added mass to my body I didn't have when I was 17. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the moment that I have the road to myself. It's been a long day and one where best behavior was expected at all times. If it's not the scrutiny of the two administrators above me, it's the dozen or so peons below, watching everything I do. I adjust my slacks for better comfort and manspread. The lights overhead are muted, battery saving, safety glow, eerie and intimate. The street lamps we pass are stars of cherries blurred through the treated glass. The early evening of winter has already darkened the streets. I can make out people with their umbrellas, the winter boots. They're moving faster than we are. Mine are still in the boot of my car where I leave them in the state of perpetual winter preparedness. The bus stops. The lights come on, exposing my thought in a harsh glare that makes me blink. I stare to the front, but no one gets on. The door opens and closes on its own. Shit. Maybe the driver really is a robot. The same routine happens like clockwork, every block. I pull my phone from my coat pocket, check the time, check the news. Scroll through the Dow Jones. Time ticks by. Slow. 45 minutes, according to the online schedule. Feels like 4 hours. I'm trapped in a time capsule. Silence outside. The sound inside the bus is also muted. Odd. Traffic. Engine. Movement. If I turn my head, I can almost feel my old friendships around me. Ghosts that have gone before. Married. Divorced. I went to the funeral of one of them just last year. Now here they are with me, laughing and joking, boasting about the last girls we fucked. When we all know no one was getting anything good back then. I concentrate on my phone, trying to ignore the stop and go jerks at the bus. The lights going up, the opening and closing of the doors, the lights dimming again. Occasionally, I check the red scrolling LED lit light board, informing where we are. It's only a couple more stops till I'm home. Maybe 10 minutes, 15 tops. I don't look up again until I hear a noise. Another passenger. Her hair spills over her winter coat from under a silly, frizzy hat that doesn't cover her ears. She drops what looks like a heavy backpack and digs through her purse. She glances down the length of the bus, just like I did. She takes it all in a second or two. I wonder if she also thinks the seats are watching her. I catch a look at her in those few seconds when the lights remain bright as the driver pulls away. She has a slightly pointy chin, her bulky coat ends at her waist, and she's wearing those painted-on jeans women like. The long day she looks to have had has made her a little wild and unkempt. The lights fade again. I look down at my phone in my hand and let my imagination fill the rest. She reminds me of one of the cheerleaders. Sometimes we weren't the only ones on the bus. Sometimes, in the no-man's land between us at the back and the driver and teachers at the front, there'd be the princesses in full uniforms, the short red pleated skirts that ended just at the curves of their tight little asses. I can't remember the name of the particular one I'm thinking of, but suddenly I'm enjoying the feel of her skin as I slide my hand under that skirt and taste of her mouth as I kiss her. Fast and risky before any of the adults can catch us. I'm the only other passenger on the bus. I've opened my coat. I don't even remember doing that. I'm in black from head to foot, broad-shouldered. Lone woman doesn't usually have the nerve to come close, so I'm not expecting the cute little thing to walk all the way to the back and take the seat directly in front of me. I watch the hips move with each step. I could almost hear the sway, a memory imprint. Before sitting, she takes a quick peek over her shoulder and flashes a shy smile, then looks away. That smile hits me right in the chest, a punch that takes my breath away. I only had a second to take it all in, but fucking adorable. She sits down, settles in, and sad. Her eyes were red-rimmed, her makeup smudged, like she'd been crying. Could have just been the cold, I suppose. I know there was sleet earlier. She looks like she'd been out in the weather, everything wet. I watch her get comfortable, backpack beside her. Purse. Phone. What do we do before phones? Will she use it to distract herself, to pass the time? I can see the curve of her cheek. Maybe my palm makes my palms hot, thinking of touching her, just softly, cupping that cheek. I think of the cheerleader again. She takes off the fuzzy hat. It's a mess from the weather. She finger combs her hair. I dread her looking back and catching me staring. She's so sweet, it's just too hard to turn away. I'm dying to compliment her, to tell her what I think, but I don't. The bus slows, jerks, and then stops. The lights come up. Her hair is somewhere between black and brown. It twists and curls in natural ringlets. I can't take my eyes away as she messes with her coat again. It's warm on the bus, more than outside anyways. I hear it unzip. Her shoulders move as she adjusts it. What's underneath? If I try to talk to her, she'll go and sit up near the driver and complain about the perv at the back. She pulls her hair to one side and arranges it behind her ear. The top looks red. I want to put my mouth on it. Breathe hot breath onto her. Warm her up. But I don't. I check the time on my own phone. Skim emails, even though I know there's nothing new there. Adjust my cock in my pants, trying to find a new position that doesn't pinch. When I look up, I can still hear her. I can still see her little ear. The crook of her neck. The lights have dimmed again, and we are locked together. How much longer before my stop? The glow of false warmth, the hum of the engine. I can feel the nostalgia of it in my thighs and at the base of my spine. She's sitting there, looking out the window. Her skin is winter pale. I can't tell her age, but her flesh is tight and fine. Under 30, I'd say. Her ear is pierced, but she isn't wearing earrings. That top tendon in her neck needs my knuckles to brush up and down. Her shoulders slump as I watch and she makes a noise, a sigh. Her head tilts toward the window and she draws a line in the condensation of the space. Another sound, easy to miss, but I know what it is. Defeat. I move an inch forward, trying to confirm my suspicions. I shouldn't. She's not mine, and it's no business of mine. But she came and sat close. She pulled back her hair. She loosened her coat and exposed part of her to me already. Not an invitation, I know it. But I can't resist the draw, the feminine beauty of it. It rouses all the best thoughts from the past, from the last time I was on a bus, from my last relationship. I want my mouth on her neck, my teeth. I'd be so careful. I could just play right there with that ear and her neck. Breathe her in. I imagine she smells like warm, hot vanilla and sheets fresh from the dryer. Sweet, clean. I think maybe this woman is crying. Or just stopping herself from bursting into tears. Like a broken thing. Like a hurt thing. I look at the phone and check the time. Only 5 to 7 more minutes until my stop. We'll be in the dark till then. I haven't been on a bus since I moved to this town. I will be on one again once I got my car back tomorrow. I'll never see her again. Fuck it. I put my phone away and lean forward, hand on the seat back. Hi, I start. No, don't move. Stay just like that. She freezes. No idea what I'm going to do. I glance towards the driver before easing forward slightly. My size, the uncomfortable seats, and her short stature won't indicate that anything untoward is going on. I'm not going to hurt you or anything. I just want to tell you something, all right? Are you okay? Are you crying? You look so sad. I don't want to scare you. And you don't have to look at me. I don't want you to. Just keep looking out the window. You can see my reflection. You're okay. Safe. I'm only a stranger. Some random man. I'm not going to hurt you. We're on a bus. There's CCTV. Nothing will happen. I don't know why you're so sad, but I can see it in your eyes. Those pretty eyes. I just caught a glimpse of them, shining when you gave me your smile, like a gift. It has been a long, shitty-ass day, and you got on this bus and walked right to me. You could have sat anywhere. It makes me feel like I should take this chance to talk to you, tell you. I lean forward, get closer to her. I think I feel her hair against my chin, and it takes everything I have to hold back. You remind me of good things, sweet things. I want to tell you how sweet you look, all wrapped up in your hat. I can see around to the base of her neck in this new position. She's not moving, letting me talk, listening and watching my reflection. There's a pulse there, just there, beating quickly. And below that, the V of a top, the generous promise of what lay beneath. I can't see your body, but I bet it's gorgeous. I bet you would feel my hands like a promise and a blessing, like every dream I haven't been able to grab a hold of for the last 6 years. I don't think you know that. I don't think anyone's ever told you that. Not today, at least. So I'm going to. Look at this neck of yours, I say, bending even closer, breathing on her. Graceful. The bus checks, and I wonder if we've run out of time. Stoplight. She gasps, looking forward, looking at our reflection, me hovering over her, saying nothing. She doesn't fucking move. I hope I'm not scaring her, but I'm not going to stop. So pretty, I say, committed to this. I'm going to tell her. This place, right behind your ear, right here. I let my breath touch her, let the heat from my mouth caress her. My voice has gone low, dark. I want to kiss you here so fucking bad. My cock is a hard pole in my pants just for want of kissing you right there. She sniffles again and moves. I think she's going to jump up, run. But instead, her head tilts the smallest bit to the side. I can smell it now, and just like I thought, she smells like peace and home and every good thing. If you were mine, I'd wrap you up tight, hug you hard, hurt whatever made you cry. I'd take you home and make dinner while you took a hot shower and rub you down from neck to foot with your favorite lotion. You deserve that. You deserve to be told how beautiful you are. That smile you gave me, a stranger. I know you're beautiful on the inside too. Generous, a little fearless. I'm leaning forward. So close to her now. It's not my imagination. She has tilted her head to the side more. I can see the top of her shoulders where it meets her neck. That sensual. I'm just gonna skip the word. Exposed notch. I know she can feel me hovering around her. Sense me in her nerve ending. I keep talking. I can't stop myself. I'm gonna say everything. After that, I'd fuck you. I'd look you right in the eyes. I'd want you to know I see you. I'd watch your expression so I can learn what you like. Slow and easy, or fast and hard. I'd watch you, listen to you. Wait you out until you can't catch your breath from coming so hard. I'd want you more than once though. My voice has gone rough. I can feel my time running out, the present draining the bravado of the past, even as I press my cock against the back of the seat where the woman is sitting. Almost my stop. Do you think you could take me? You wouldn't be too tired, would you, baby girl? Once I got a taste of your skin, I'd need more. Could you do that? Could you give me more? You were the type of woman who's addictive. The bus is slowing. I know it's time. I press down, find that spot right behind her ear, press my lips there. A hot, forbidden kiss, taking a piece of her, giving her a piece of me. The bus stops. I stand, loosen my fingers from around my phone after gripping the thing so tight they hurt, twitch my shoulders and adjust my slacks, fix my coat. It's my stop. I'm standing in the aisle when, with my back to her, but my voice clear, I say, I drink a few beers in Mario's every Friday after 6. It's 2 doors up from here. Maybe you'll stop in. Tell me why you were so sad today. Share a drink with me. I get off the bus. Hope a night ends better than it started. I know mine did. Ta-da!
Ta-da! I know you sensual. Have to go.
Nope.
Yes, sensual.
Sensual. Nope.
It helps so much if you read it out loud beforehand.
It does. It does.
Do you like that? No, see, he changed some things. He added he's good. He's just good. Most of it's mine, but the things that he added, everything was just spot on. I wonder what else I can get him to collaborate with me on. Did you like it?
I did. It was good. Except for the word sensual. There we go.
There you did it.
I did it.
Okay, so Zane has to go, and now I have to write my version. I am on a, he is now offline. What did you guys think? I thought it was fantastic. So now I'm reading the girl's point of view, which is really... I haven't read through it all the way, even though I was giving Zane grief for not reading out loud, because when I started reading it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just going to kill me. So maybe I won't do that. It is by Touchtype on Literotica. And I really suggest you go if you want to laugh, if you like your smexy with a little bit of a lark and a romp and a lighthearted point of view and a very... oh, just fun point of view. You might want to check him out. So let me call it up and I will read my version. Getting the phone already. At least the bus is on time for once. The first thing I've encountered today that's worked. I know this driver, so I smile at him. I always smile at him. Drivers on this route come in two main character types. Miserable bastards like him who wouldn't pee on you if you were on fire. They never help old people or women with kids push the chairs. Seems to take pleasure in jerking the bus back into traffic before they have time to settle. I always smile at them, part of the war of attrition we both play to see who will crack first. The nicer ones, the hello, love, you're looking good, doing anything special tonight types, smile at them. They're forever pestering you for the phone number, especially if they hear the American accent. Just a minute, my phone. Ever pestering you for... the nicer ones, the hello, love, you're looking good, doing anything special tonight ones, smile at them and they're forever pestering you for a phone number, especially if they hear the American accent. I miss that, though. It's nice to be thought of as somehow exotic. Not all the time, but sometimes, with the right guy. Like I said, I'll miss it. Damn purse is full of foreign coins. I know I've got a couple of pounds in here somewhere. Stuff it, I'll use my card. But even that's right at the back now after a week away. Look down the bus to see no one's getting pissed off. I'm taking more than the allotted 15 seconds. It's completely empty. All except looking that lonely-looking guy right at the back. I love the smell of English buses. Faint scent of diesel, damp clothes aroma, left like people happy to be off the street. Someone's been eating one of those pastries they all like so much. Something else I'll miss. And we're away. One thing I won't miss is the hole in a-hole drivers like this one. He could see my backpack weighs a ton, but does that stop him from jumping the bus like a kangaroo to get the jam ASAP? Of course no. The buses all sway on soft suspensions, even at the measly 5 miles an hour we're crawling along at. Still, he won't get me. I'm a veteran now of public transport. Move your hips to match the rhythm. Reach out a hand towards the next seat just in case you need the support. Nothing short a head-on collision going to put you on your bum. Where to sit? Not too near the front. I've missed the schools and early commuters, but the stop that's after next is right outside the pub office workers use, and there's nothing like a woman on her own to bring out the worst in a guy with 2 pints of old peculiar inside him. I can do without that today. Maybe here? Just past the exit door? Better idea. I'll sit right in front of Sad Man. He's built and dressed like a bouncer, except for the expensive overcoat. Still mean-looking enough to deter tipsy jerks from daring to find out whether we're together or not. Probably. I smile with relief of getting the effing backpack off my back. He looks a bit startled. Maybe I've scared him. Definitely a man on his own. No one has shoulders like those on top of a flat stomach with, and a tight weight when they've got a wife and two ankle biters at home cutting into gym time. He's spread all over the seats. Typical guy, legs spread, taking room two other people could use. At least he's not shoving his package in our, in my face. He's pulled back the coat if he had anything to boast about. This stupid hat is definitely going in the UK when I go. God, my hair must look a mess. Yep. Look at my reflection in the dirty window confirms it. Nothing much I can do about it here, though. Is he still staring at me? Looked like it from a brief glimpse I got. Nah, he's probably just looking out the window. He's clearly not a regular in this role. The way he keeps checking his stop, the next on the thingy, looking through the grime, trying to work out where we are. Wonder what brought him here today. Car stolen? Drunk driving conviction? Maybe. Only idiots get their cars fixed at places without courtesy cars, so it's definitely not that. Enough about him. Expect he's clearly not got a girlfriend either. At his age, all black, your goth days are long gone, friend. Besides, the office manager haircut and manicure, dead giveaways. Never thought of pastels, dude. Only women who look at you that are their 20 years your junior or surgically enhanced platinum blondes looking for a sugar daddy. And neither group will look twice at a guy without his own car. Shit, it's good just to sit and stretch. What a day. Flight at the crack of dawn. Delayed, of course. Fellow passengers, all kids with nightmares, hangovers. Three of them threw up before we even left the tarmac. What kind of idiot goes alone in an 1830-style activity break when they need to get away to reconsider their relationship? Was all those photos of deserted mountains, I guess. That and not reading the small print about discos, which ended at 4, and fellow guests all bed-hopping until breakfast time. Ugh. Then there was the car, still there in the long stay park where I left it, but needing threatening with arson before it would start. Thank goodness it staggered all the way here before it finally died and had the consideration to do so, not on a double yellow line. So when the dicks at the AA say, "Sorry, madam, we've had a lot of calls out. It will only be 4 hours until we can get to you," there's nothing you can do. The woman alone argument counts for zero when they know from sat nav you're on the center of a busy town. Next time I take out roadside assistance, I'm definitely putting gynecologist under profession and spelling it the English way. That there's no way I'd get shoved to the bottom of the list when there might be a woman in labor somewhere, even if I am actually an accountant. Still, he can sort them out tomorrow. I'm leaving him the sodding car, aren't I? Is it hot in here? Is it just me? The bus is for you. Freezing cold or boiling hot? Huh? Nothing in between. I'm sure that guy behind me is staring at me. Stop it! Why do I always push my hair away from my face when I see someone checking me out? Ugh, stop it! I can't not like he can see my eyes, my best feature. Anyway, he's behind me. Check phone for emails. Jeez. Oh, that sister of mine. I know the kid's a little beauty, but she'll be 15 one day, girl, and hating you for not letting you out in a skirt that short, making her get home hours before any of her friends. And she'll have an eccentric aunt, me, with a full digital library of every one of her bowel movements you posted. So well as those cute princess outfits you made her wear. Not to mention the one of you wearing dresses so short we could all see your knickers if you scratched your head when you were standing up or with your tongue down the throats of the last 7 different guys last time I looked. And you know I love to share. Ooh, gotta stretch my back. That pack may have crippled me permanently. Just unzip a bit more, too. It's so hot. Not enough, though. My last clean t-shirt is all I've got on underneath. Who takes away half their wardrobe in a backpack? You can't wear them because she's booked on to the early only three star hotel in Western Europe without complimentary travel irons. Hence these stupid jeans too. Great for a night out, but hardly practical for 12 straight hours of traveling. I'll be lucky if I get away without a case of thrush. That guy is definitely in my space. His nervousness has got me looking out to check the location and checking out images out the window. Maybe a face full of damp hair will get him back off. Nope. I shouldn't laugh, but thank goodness for that can of deodorant they let me take on the plane. I've been drenching myself all day like it was insect repellent, and I was naked in a mosquito-infested swamp. Getting closer to home and the inevitable. I don't really know why I'm feeling so sad. The decision's been made. We both know it was coming. And I've got a ticket to Washington State in my bag. New start, new life. It's the best for both of us. Do not start crying again, you silly little bitch. Come on, keep it together. Whew. It'll be bad enough with him blubbering. If I am too, we'll never get through it. He'll be okay. He's off on tour again at the end of the week. By the time he gets back, he'll see it makes sense, and we'll always be friends. Let's face it, if it hadn't been for me needing the visa just in time that cow May was going all fascist on foreigners, we'd have never hitched up. Sure, we were happy going through that phase where we couldn't bear to be out of each other's underwear, but honestly, if we'd both been free to do what we wanted, it would have been 6 months, maybe a year, and then enough. But we got married, then moved in with each other. Why pay two rents when we're always together anyways? He was away, playing stadiums, supporting band mom used to play us when we were tiny, or touring themselves, doing gigs in universities like the one we'd met at, star-struck exchange student and mildly famous guitarist. And it was good, good for years, but time moves on. I start thinking about a career, but that's okay. It's still great taking selfies with aging stars, getting drunk and stoned backstage until it wasn't. The prospect of meeting clients with a hangover less attractive in the early night, and he still believed the next album was going to be the one that pushed him to the top of the heap. Oh, no. God, I'm crying now. The headhunters from Seattle came along just in time we were thinking, just thinking that maybe nothing more definite, that we might have a child of our own. Sure, babe, whatever you want, sugar, does not constitute discussion in anyone's book. I'll admit, yes, to an American initially in a fit of pique. Then there were tears, real tears, hence the getaway breathing space in today's nightmare. I told him on the phone, I was still going and had bought the flight ticket. There was more crying then from both of us. Oh, shit. Oh, piss. Mr. Strong and Silent is talking to me. Keep calm. Don't scream. Just do nothing. He's telling me he's not going to hurt me. He just wants to talk. Yeah, right. That's what all rapists say. Why isn't that bastard bus driver doing anything? Can't he see what's going on back here? He's still talking, 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 talking. Maybe that's a good sign. Think. No rape alarms or mace not allowed on the plane. Here's a Swiss Army knife I brought as a parting gift. Maybe if I just move. He's talking about kissing me? Oh, shit, here it comes. I just move slowly. Maybe I can get out the pocket in the get to the pocket out in the backpack. Which one was it? Shit, bugger, piss. He's breathing on me. I can feel it. Oh, I'm gonna be sick. Says he's gonna kiss me. No. Don't. This can't be happening. Not today. Not ever. He's talking about taking me home and cooking me a meal. Kidnapping? Is that his game? No way. He's getting me off the bus. Not unless he has a gun. Shower. He wants me to shower. Hot bath, large scotch, maybe Buster. Sure, right. What the F? Did he just say he wanted to anoint me in lotion? What's wrong with him? No one anoints anyone. Well, not since back in the anointing was a thing. And who knows when that was. Kidnappers and devil's worshippers. That's who. I am seriously effed here. Now he's talking about fucking me. Now we're getting to it. He's probably waking himself right off. Oh, gross. Maybe, just maybe, if we spent the night in the bar while we were teenagers, got wrecked on schnapps, and you knew a lot of good jokes, and used better lines than this BS, then maybe we'd have woken up the next morning together, each desperately trying to remember the other's name, before you slunk off back to your room. But this crap, that you're going to fuck me again and again, with your balls shrunk by illegal gym steroids you hide under a 500 quid overcoat, give me a break. The bus is stopping. If I'm quick, I can make a run for it once the doors open. They always open the doors, even if no one wants to get off. Company rules. God bless the company rules. No. No, he's actually kissing me on the neck. If I get out of this alive, I'm taking a whole bottle of scotch and bath with me, and then another of bleach. He's standing, going to block my escape, get off, drag me with him. I'll hook my arm through the back cracks. Pack straps. If he tries to take me, it's a ton of wet concrete coming along as well. But no, he's walking right by me. I'm safe. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Allah, Moses, Muhammad, and all the saints. That was freaky. Thank you, Odin and Vishnu. Maybe I better be at Buddha just there for good measure, but hang on. Oh, good Lord. He's not done. He's saying something from the aisle. Wants me to meet him for a drink on Friday? In your dreams. He's gone. Whew, I'm shaking. I need a piss. Should I call the police? My phone's right here. No. He was just a sad loser. No harm. Just kiss me on the next. But what about the next woman? I'll think about it in the bath. Make my decision there. Friday nights. He wants me to meet him in Mario's? Mario's. It's a family restaurant, you dick. What kind of sad loser tries to pick up women in the bar of a family restaurant? Friday night. I'll think of him all the way to the end of the route, getting calmer all the time. Still run the 200 yards to the house, though. Have to lean on the gate to get my breath back. Friday night, 6 o'clock. I'll be halfway across the Atlantic. No more doubts, no more worries. I'll try to remember to order a glass of champagne for first class seat my new employers have paid for. Mario's, you keep going there and he'll think he's got designs on his oldest daughter, the one with the mustache. And Mario has a lot of mean-looking friends. They wear a lot of black too. And kitchen full of knives and cleavers and shit. Still, he has made my decision definite. I'm out of here. So I hope his night ends better than it started. I know mine did. Oh my gosh. I hope that you enjoyed that. That was from my friend, read especially for you. No, I didn't expect you to take it there. No, I didn't know, but you add so much depth and your little asides, and you're very clever, and seriously, I don't know. It's not a wheelbarrow. It's some kind of cart. You just need to get it and you can just push it in front of you. And that way you can rest your big giant head on it. You loved it. I'm going to post this so you can read Zane's version, which is my version. And that was my friend. I want to say True Type or Touch Type. I don't know why I can't just lodge the names. I could just say your real name, but well, I don't know. Is that your real name? It is Touch Type on Literotica, and his stuff is pretty hilarious. You should check him out. And I actually am going to be able to post him reading one of his pieces in his very English, real English voice, and I can't in his low voice. I can't wait to share that. And I have so much other stuff coming up to share. I'm going to be airing the radio drama I'm going to be airing the radio drama, The Natural Ones. I have interviews. I have just fantastic stuff planned. My computer comes tomorrow. Can we all say tomorrow? Although I also have to catch up on the editing hell, people. I hate edits. Although, Meryl, if you're listening, the editing has been so much easier this time. So that's all. I'm going to post this right away so you can listen to Zane read sexy and stumble over the word sensual. Zane, are you listening? Sensual. The sensual curve of her neck. Sensual. Sensual. You can just read it. Sensual. Henrietta, everybody. Sensual. Oh my goodness. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you go back and listen to the beginning over and over and you really think about sharing your crap with somebody. When I was younger, my family actually wanted me to do therapy and I wouldn't do it because it's just like talking and talking and what's the point? And you can't fix the world. I can only fix myself. And I'm sorry, I don't need your help to do that. But the talking has been incredible. There have been some people that I have met via Twitter that have just been there for me. And it has been life-changing in so many ways, and I am grateful for them. And one day, I hope I get to smell them. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. I'm sure they all smell beautiful. Henrietta, I bet you smell so good. Isn't that weird? I love how men smell, but, you know, your best friend is always the best-smelling person, too. Your best girlfriend, she walks into the room and you're like, oh, yes, that's the smell of laughter and good times and being safe and relaxing. It's different. Zane, are you making a green pukey face? Please. Sensual. Thank you, people. Be blessed. Have a great day. Here is some wonderful music to take you. Actually, I'm going to give you a happy Sunday. This has been Iswellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. I am the author of Choosing Her Alpha, available now on Amazon Kindle. You should go and read it. Just don't tell me you read it because then I might be embarrassed or something. But, you know. Also, I have a piece coming up in an anthology, too. And I'm working on my next book. I love you all. You're fantastic. Have a great day. Be encouraged.